welcome back to the Next Big Thing podcast. I'm your host, Sam Ogborn. I know you guys are sick of me saying this, and I may or may not start every podcast episode this way, but I do just want to say thank you again for giving the Next Big Thing a chance and giving us a listen, downloading our episodes. Every week, I am blown away by the amount of people that are listening and also where they're listening from. So, hey to all of the countries that are listening to this podcast right now. I hope you feel inspired and motivated to do your own thing. And yeah, thank you to friends and family for your support and your constant feedback, constructive feedback especially. It goes such a long way. So thank you for that. Moving on to a little bit more about this week's podcast guest. Her name is Samantha. Yes, that is my name too. And she and I both met as part of a female entrepreneurs group that we're a part of. I actually had Samantha pitch me on doing this podcast episode. And at first I was a little hesitant because it didn't necessarily fit the types of people that I've had on in the past. But now that we've recorded this episode and probably talked for, 2 hours on top of that, I actually think that this is one of my favorite episodes we've done so far. Samantha has such a unique perspective on becoming an entrepreneur that I feel like a lot of those listening will actually find relatable and could probably find themselves in her shoes when she tells her story. Samantha is the founder of Host to Host. And host to host is such an interesting concept. I'll let Samantha explain it in the podcast, but if you're interested in travel and Airbnb, you'll love this podcast and you'll probably feel inspired to start your own Airbnb if you haven't already. So without further ado, let's get into the episode and I'll catch you on the flip side. Hey, Samantha, thanks so much for joining the Next Big Thing podcast.
Hi, Sam. Thank you so much for having me.
Nice to have you. I'm so excited to learn about Host to Host because it's really unlike anything else we've had on the podcast before. So for our listeners, how did you get this idea for Host to Host?
So it started when, I'm a host myself. I have a little Airbnb in a small town, and I put a lot of investment into this Airbnb. It started from scratch basically. So painted wallpaper, furniture. I completely designed, curated this space. And after completing that and hosting people at the end of the year, I was really, really tired. And I was looking for a break for myself. And so it was at the end of the year, at the end of the busy season, I was like, okay, so I want to go away and we don't have as much money. Usually we save, but we just made this big investment. So we can't really afford to go away to a really awesome place. And that's what I wanted because I knew better at this point. So my husband was looking for something that was really affordable, like camping or something, which I'm not against camping. I like camping, but I was looking for something more. And I asked him if he was looking for something for free, and he said yes, but looked at me like, well, how are you going to pull that off? And then I just reached out to an account that I was following on Instagram. It was called Treehouse A-Frame. And I said, hi, I've been a fan. I have a really cute Airbnb in this small town. It's a tourist town. We're known for our beauty of we're in the Thousand Islands area. So there's literally thousands of islands that you can tour in our area. And so I just they saw the account obviously. And I offered them our place in exchange for their place. And I just threw it out there. I wasn't expecting anything, even a response. I wasn't expecting anything. I just threw it out there. And then they answered back and they said yes. that they would swap. And I was so shocked that, like, we didn't even go. We were just so blown away that they had said yes. Like, I had to message them back and be like, I'm sorry, we can't even actually go. Like, it was just, they were in California. We were on the East Coast, basically. Like, we were just, we didn't cancel our invitation. We're still going to go eventually. But I was so amazed that this was possible, that it got me thinking. And we didn't even go away. I almost immediately just jumped on this idea because I was so fascinated by this concept of having really talented people come together and take advantage of what they have and make the most out of it and get all the perks that they deserve because we've worked so hard. And I was just like so into this concept. So like I just dove headfirst into it. That's basically how it started.
And so the idea is people can swap places. It's like Airbnb, but you can swap. So where does the swapping happen? Is it just via DM and then you figure it out that way?
Yeah, so like how it works, I created a website and it's a members only. So I've curated this group. Like it's important to me that we maintain a level of quality because I didn't want someone to approach somebody who had like a really nice place and like they wanted to swap for their basement. I just didn't feel like that was fair. So like I'm trying to maintain like a level of quality within the group. Because like there is a difference in Airbnbs, there's like a spectrum. So like there's like, you know, I have a room in my house, I'm going to rent it out. And then there's the person who has bought a property with the intention of using it as an Airbnb and completely designing it for guests. So that's kind of the people that I'm interested in having in the group. And so within the community, you view the people who and their places, and then you can message them using our website. And what was the other part of your question? How they connect? Oh yeah, okay. So we don't facilitate the actual swapping. This is completely up to both hosts. And there's so many different ways that you can swap. Like you could swap cost for cost. You could swap. So what I mean by cost for cost is some places have maybe like, some places might be more expensive than yours, but you still want to trade. So you could, say, hey, you could spend a weekend at mine. I'll spend a week at yours or something like that. You could also agree to cross promote one another, which would be big if you were kind of like new to the Airbnb scene and you wanted more exposure. They have your target audience. So that's a really great way to kind of get your name out there with someone who has an audience full of people who want to travel. And also your audience members would love to see where you choose to stay. So there's like a variety of ways that you can swap. And most of the time these Airbnbs aren't occupied by the owner. So the availability is much more flexible. When you compared another swapping website, you'd have to sync up schedules to swap if you're living in the same home. Very successful Airbnb hosts have a hard time with non-vacancy. Like their place is always booked. So in that situation, it may or may not be a good fit for them. It's kind of one of those things where they have to set aside time to swap. But I don't know if that's like everybody has that scenario. I think a lot of us have seasons, right? We have off seasons. Mm-hmm. So that's where I would suggest people swap during their off season. But I mean, obviously people are more than welcome to swap during their summer seasons too. It's easier for hosts because they do have availability that they can trade.
What is it like being an entrepreneur? I know you said that this idea just came to you. So did you ever have intentions of becoming an entrepreneur, or when this idea hit, you were like, okay, maybe I think I can do something like this?
That's a really great question because I never saw myself as an entrepreneur. I wasn't like a young girl thinking like I want to run my own business one day. Like that was just never ever in the cart. Like I never even a thought in my mind. I think like opening Airbnb did teach me about running my own business, which was helpful. But like my background is not related at all to this. I went to school, like after I graduated high school, I took 4 years off and I traveled around the world. And I grew to understand what I liked about travel and, the places I like to stay at. And, I went to school for behavioral psychology. And when I graduated, I found myself applying to jobs that I knew I was going to hate. I'm going to apply to these jobs, and then I'm going to have to convince them that I want this job more than anybody else in order to get them. And like, I was just like, this is just a waste of my time because I don't want it. Like, if I get a call back saying, come in, like, we want to talk to you, I'm going to dread it. I'm not going to be excited. I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, now I have to lie and say that I want this job. So it was like only a few weeks after that, that I was, and I had just graduated. I did a 5-year program. So I was very lost and not sure what to do. But I knew I'd rather be lost and scared than doing something I knew would make me miserable. So I got the opportunity to create our own Airbnb. We had a fire at our house. So this property is an investment property. So we had 2 units, both full-time. So the full-time tenant and the lower unit accidentally set the house on fire. Yeah, like it was crazy. So we had to repair everything, and like we had a lot of service come in. So extensive cleaning, painting, like it was a lot of work. So, but in that opportunity, see how I call it an opportunity? It was an opportunity. Like I sat down with my husband and we were talking, okay, what can we do with this space instead? Because we have this chance to renovate it. So what could we do? And I said, I really want to try Airbnb. I think I could do it. And I started doing it and I fell in love. I was like, this is amazing. I can't believe that cleaning this house is bringing me so much joy. I was totally geared to, you know, sit across from somebody and be a counselor. And I found that experience to be completely terrifying, not me, and extremely uncomfortable. And here I'm cleaning a house and I'm finding so much joy. I'm like, what is happening? This is so crazy. Why do I like this so much? This is so weird. You know, like, why do I like making beds so much? What's wrong with me? Like, I was obsessed. Like, I was just like so happy. I was so happy to go in there and make it my own and make people happy. And like, I was just, it was just so lovely. So then to be able to expand in this way where I get to celebrate hosts and I get to say like, you have done such an amazing job. I know how much you care. And I just want to give you a break because I know how tired you are too. And I've found a way for us to benefit from each other by getting together and making this exchange. So it's, I really relate to people who don't know what they want to do because I was in that situation for so long. It's only been the last 2 years that I have actually found it. And it feels like I found a soulmate, which I can so relate to anybody who is lost because I was there for so long and I hated it.
Do you think that this year your purpose has strengthened knowing what's happened with COVID in the travel industry?
I think that's a fair point because it hasn't brought me down. Like, despite the fact that this is the stupidest time to start a travel group, it has not stopped me. I'm like, no. Like, doing this and like, to my surprise and my delight, the hosts feel the same way. Like there's some hosts who are obviously like worried and concerned and they're not sure, and but there are others that are like, we're gonna work through this, we're gonna get through this. They're just willing to adapt to the situation, and they're just as passionate about this as I am. So yeah, it is a good test, I think. I think if you can start a business now, especially a type of business that conflicts with the pandemic itself, probably a good testament to seeing how much you actually love it.
So knowing that you fell into this, I think there's probably people who are listening to this podcast who can relate to you because they probably want to start something and maybe they haven't had that spark of an idea of what it could be. And a lot of people, I think this year have also considered maybe doing things that generate a side income for them, like having an Airbnb or figuring out what that could look like in the future for them. What would you say for you has been the biggest personal benefit of starting host to host? Is it feeling like you can connect with other people? Is it exploring other places? What does that look like for you?
The biggest benefit for me, well, like I'm learning a lot. Like I don't know what I'm doing. So every day is like a really great learning opportunity, and it's very rewarding to kind of like go along and basically sniff out the trail. It's very rewarding to like when I started the group, it was just for fun. It was just basically just it was just a hobby. I would reach out to hosts and say, "Hey, there's a group of us interested in swapping. Would you like to join?" So I did that for a while, and then I thought, "Okay, maybe this is an opportunity. Like maybe I could actually make money at this." And that's when I spoke with a member of our group and said, like, what could I do to improve this? What could I do? How could I start to make money at this, you know? And she's like, well, you could start with a website. And I was like, that's a good idea. So then I did the website. But the website wasn't, you know, it wasn't just a landing page. It was like a functional website. How can I create something that people can use, people can check out, see what we're about, and then there's a members area, and then they can connect and communicate with each other, and there's a community within, and there's a place where we can see listings, and there's a place where we can search. Like, I didn't know how to do any of that, but that was a huge project. And so, like, I did that, and that took a long time. And so, after that, it's like, okay, what's the next step? The next step is inviting people to join and marketing. And so, it's just been rewarding to get to the next level of each piece of being of running this business. That's what I would say is the best thing. And in terms of trying to find an idea, like I know people are, you know, sitting thinking like, I just want that idea to pop into my head. And I think that there's this notion that ideas are sparse, like they're not, you're lucky if you come across a good idea in your lifetime. And I think that's wrong. Like, I don't think that's right. I think that we get good ideas all the time, and it's just whether or not we choose to jump on it. And like, if you, let's say you had an idea and you do decide to go for it, what could happen is that it could lead to something else. So I think like as long as you're starting, at least if you're starting something, you're gonna like connect with people, you're gonna talk with people, and you could totally abandon your initial project and go in a separate way. But it was only because you started that project that you met so and so who was doing this, which brought you know, more ideas or more inspiration to do something. So I think it's really just about following your joy and seeing what happens. And like what I found is like you just start to uncover things.
I love that. That's such good advice for anyone listening who maybe even has ideas and then thinks that their ideas aren't good enough. Sometimes it just takes one thought to consider pursuing and brainstorming about that could actually carry it into something that becomes a real thing.
Yeah, I think we just get hooked. Like we get so focused on the Like, it has to be a good idea, and like, I can't start it because if it's not a good idea, then I'll fail, and then I'll feel bad about myself. And then, right? Like, it's just like, if even if you started out really small, like really small, like, I have this idea to create this post, and it has nothing to do with business. It's just an idea to create a post, and you create the post and like, you throw it out there. Or I have this idea to take a different walk through my neighborhood. I'm going to do a different route. I'm going to try something else. Like, that is good. Like, if you're starting, if you start doing things you don't usually do, but you have an interest in doing it, you might stumble across something.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Or even just surrounding, trying to surround yourself with different people.
Yes.
And different thoughts. And I totally agree with that. I think this year almost is challenging people to push themselves outside of their comfort zone a little bit more because of COVID. It's making people think about things differently. And in a lot of ways, I think it's really a good thing because it's transforming how people want to live their lives and what they want to do with their lives. So it's good.
I completely agree with that. It's so true because it gave this moment of pause and evaluation of your life. And
yeah, I'm in no way saying that COVID is good, by the way.
No, but right. Yeah.
But it's like, it's choosing to have a certain mindset, really.
Yeah, it is. And how do you, when COVID quarantine started, this sounds horrible, but I was so excited because it meant that I got to hunker down, be in my room, and just like go full force with my business, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it gave me time to really hash things out. And like, that was such a gift for me. So yeah, it is about how you choose to look at it and what you choose to do with the situation that has been presented to you. I was pumped, which sounds horrible.
It's a different frame of mind that I'm sure people who are watching the news all the time maybe feel a little depressed by what's going on, or they know someone who's had COVID. Acknowledging those things are happening and still trying to find like the sliver of hope in every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had this, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've had periods in my life where I've had severe, like, when I didn't know what I wanted to do, and this is how I can relate to people who are lost. I was just graduating, and I could feel the world just kind of like collapsing in. Like, I could feel like climate change, and I could feel like everything, like the news was really getting to me, and like everything just felt so, so challenging and so hard. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was stressed out because I wasn't sure if I was going to pay off my student loans and just all this stuff. And it took some time, but I slowly learned how to adapt. I slowly learned how to take care of myself and discovered ways to learn how to take those situations and turn them into opportunities. Yeah, like it does take practice. It takes a lot of trial to learn that you're like, basically, it's like you're fireproof. Bring it on. Like, it's like stuff's gonna happen, and I have to learn how to be fireproof. Like, I think I read this quote today that said, pain is inevitable, but suffering isn't. So I'm like, okay, like that. That's true, right? That's going to happen, but it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. We can choose not to.
Completely.
Yeah.
I'm very curious about how, when you came up with this idea, I think the idea host to host is so smart. And when I talk about the next big thing on this podcast, it really is the next step in people still being able to see the world and travel, but not having it be so within one platform and almost creating a community around it. And I just want everyone who's listening to be clear, like, you're not affiliated with Airbnb, correct?
No, I'm not.
How do people learn about host to host, and what kind of marketing have you guys been doing to get the word out?
We've been mainly on Instagram because that's where the hosts are. Instagram is a really great marketing tool for us because it's all visual, right? And so like the travel world is on Instagram, you know, travel gram, I don't know, like Insta travel, travel gram. All these hashtags have to do with travel. Like I think that Instagram is definitely like the area where we focus. And I mean, luckily my members or our members, I shouldn't say my, our members, they have such great content. So it's really easy for me to share our content because it's their stuff. And obviously they're open to having their places shared because they want, you know, the more eyes, the better. So that's been really fun to do because it's like, it's so much fun to show off their places, you know? Like I'm so happy they're a part of it and they're so happy to be a part of it. So like it's such a great like mutual thing. But yeah, we're not associated with Airbnb. We're just a community of talented hosts who want a break sometimes. Really, that's it. Yeah, so that's been our focus, is just kind of like eye candy, basically.
And are you pitching some of these hosts? Like, do you send them a message and ask them if they'd be interested in being a part of the platform, or are you doing more content promotion and then they discover it?
Both. I do reach out to hosts. Like I want them to hear my voice. Like I want them to know that we are a small community. Like I said, like we are an exclusive group. Obviously, I'd like to expand, but we are an exclusive group. So like each person is kind of like reviewed before being accepted. So if I see somebody that I think would be a really great match or a really good fit, I'll reach out. And from that, I've found like most of our members actually have joined because I've reached out. Yeah, so that's been like the best strategy I've had so far. It's very brick and mortar for me. Like it's very like one step at a time, kind of like knocking on each door. That's what it feels like. But like that's been the most successful strategy I've had so far. But I think it's so healthy because we are starting our relationship, right? Like we are I'm really am starting a relationship with each member. And I really like that part about it. You know?
For sure. And is there criteria that they have to fit into?
Yeah, so it's like all of this can be found on our website, like what you need to be able to join. Our website is, should I plug in my website
Yeah, go for it.
right now? It's hosttohost.co. So you can find how it works too. You can learn more about how swapping is actually works and what we use to qualify somebody to join. Yeah, so it's if you have a little something special, then you're pretty much good to come in. And it's a subscription, so you're not paying for each swap. It's a monthly or annual subscription, whatever, you know, whatever people feel comfortable with. And it's like a fraction of what an average nightly rate would be with one of our members.
So, what do you feel like is the future of the travel industry right now, and how do you see host to host fitting in?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be road trips. I think we're going to be supporting local. We're going to be doing, yeah, like I said, like more road trips. I don't think that's a bad thing either. You know, when I traveled when I was younger, the first thing I did was jump on a plane and go around the world. But I didn't explore my own country or my own neighborhood. I came back and I was like, I think people have been asking me questions about my country. I don't even know. Like, I need to go explore
And
my own land, you know?
you're in Canada, right?
Yes.
Okay. So is
Yeah.
host to host, is it the States in Canada right now, or is it worldwide?
So we have members all over the world. US, Australia, Vietnam, Bali,
Cool.
Canada. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. And like we are like I don't know. It's hard because we are small, but we are exclusive. So we're going to be small if we're exclusive, right? So it's a good thing though, because like I think of it kind of like Costco. When you go into Costco, you have like two options of toothpaste, but they're both good. They're good toothpaste, right? Like they're selling you that they're like high quality things. They're not giving you a lot of options for a reason. They're trying to make it simple for you. So that's kind of another like side benefit of this community is you walk in and you see all of these amazing places, right? You're not bombarded with thousands of listings that you have to sift through. You just get this list, this relatively, small list of all amazing places.
That's
So
awesome.
yeah, so like I think it's good that we're small. I want to increase, obviously. I want our numbers to increase, but I want to maintain a level of quality so that every time somebody signs in, they're like the search is significantly less strenuous and a lot easier and more enjoyable.
So
There's
I
just
have to
something
ask
about
this
it.
question. I'm really curious about this. What if someone lives in a less desirable location? Like when you mentioned Bali, I'm like, oh my gosh, Bali's like the ultimate vacation destination. But what if someone's like smack dab in the middle of the country? Like, is that seen as less desirable, or do those people have the same opportunities?
They have the same opportunities for sure. It's just about what they've created because people are going to Airbnbs because of the way that they look. It doesn't matter where they are. Like Instagram is a perfect example of what I'm talking about because you'll see like, millions of likes on a picture of some beautiful cabin in the middle of nowhere. And everyone's wondering, where's this cabin I want to go? So it's not about your accessibility. Like some people want that. Some people want complete isolation and like, they want that experience. So it's about the experience that you provide and not about the destination. Right now, so my little Airbnb in the small town is being discovered not because people are searching the town, but because they're seeing it on Instagram and they're saying, huh, this is a really cute place. Where is it located? They don't care about where it's located. They want to go there. Right? So it's like that's what's attract like people will jump on a plane and go somewhere based on a picture of where they're going to be staying. They don't know about the area. And like obviously the area does have things to offer, right? Like when people come and stay at my place, I can offer them some, activities and stuff or there's, in the next town, there's restaurants or, there's always going to be something for people to do. But if you did want to be out in the middle of nowhere, well, then you're going to have a very nice, quiet, beautiful, meditative book writing, yoga retreat, right? Like you're going to have that quiet that you want. So, yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the location. It's definitely more about the experience you provide for your guests that allows people to come and see you.
That's so interesting because I think about people too who are interested in interior design and want to express their creativity that way. This could be a great opportunity for them as a little side project.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and there's so many businesses within the Airbnb business. Like even if you were really interested in interior design and you really wanted to basically contribute to improving guest experience, but you couldn't afford it to buy one. You could start your own business of doing it for people. So you could help people, because there's somebody who wants to do the extra income, but does not know anything about interior design. So they will hire people to do it right. Like do all the interior design, get a guest ready, do it right. So then you do it, you create this beautiful project, this beautiful experience for people, and then you leave. And then you do it again. I did this for a little bit after I created my own because after I created my Airbnb, people were messaging me, hey, can you do the same for me? So You could do
That's
that.
awesome.
There's so many different ways that you could help. If you're interested in interior design and in this world, there's so many ways that you can help.
So on that note, let's say someone is, I think there's a lot of people listening who are curious about starting their own thing or side hustles. When you got started, what would you recommend for people who are listening who want to go into this? Like, where do they even start?
If they want to go into Airbnb or if they want to start like their own side hustle.
I think going into something like what you're doing specifically, let's say they want to start an Airbnb and they eventually want to get to a place where they can do host to host. Like, what would that look like for someone who wants to do that?
Well, to start your own Airbnb, you would have to like buy a property and invest in it. But like obviously there's ways that you can get started in that. Like I had somebody shadow me while I was creating an Airbnb. So she's like, "Hey, can I follow you around while you create this space to see if it's right for me?" I said, "Sure."
Oh, that's
She's like,
cool. That's
"I will."
nice.
Yeah. So she's like, "I won't, I won't like I'll help you set it up, but I won't get too involved with anything." I'm like, "Okay, that's great." So she shadowed me for a bit, and helped, and that was awesome. So I got like free help basically. And then she learned that it wasn't right for her. So that's like a really great way to start too. It's just testing the waters to see if it's something that you want to try. Yeah, like for me, I just kind of like went for it. But yeah, like you can find ways to start to test the waters. And like this doesn't just apply to Airbnb. I think it you could do it with some anything that you were interested in. You can start to find the community that's involved with your passion and start to kind of join the conversation and see where you could fit in and see where you could be of help just to start.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So what's next for host to host? Like, what's on the horizon for the company?
Well, that's something I ask myself every day, I think. Okay, new day. What's gonna happen? I just have this vision, really. Like, I just have this vision of having a very strong community. I would like thousands of members. So, like, I don't think I want millions. I don't know. The reason I'm hesitant is because I do want to maintain the level of quality. That's really important to me. So, if there are millions of amazing places, well, obviously they're all welcome to join. But from my experience, it hasn't really been like the case, which is, that's the way that the market is, and that's cool. But yeah, like my vision would that's what the vision is for me is just to create a global community. Like I want there's a lot more to host than just kind of this swapping thing. I think it's changing people's perceptions of working hard. We're really under this notion that we work, work, save, 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 and then we can travel. And I'm trying to say, let's stop the this grind. Let's leverage what we already have. You've already done the heavy lifting. You've created something really magical and special. So leverage that. Use that to your advantage and use the time, use your availability to your advantage. Availability is very scary for hosts. They have a blank calendar and they start freaking out. What I'm saying is use that to your advantage. Like look at your availability and don't get scared. See, look at it as an opportunity for you to actually enjoy yourself. So like even if it's like I have availability, I'm just gonna go there. I'm just gonna go to my Airbnb for a couple of days and enjoy it. That's something that Airbnb hosts don't even do. They just make it and then they just sell it, sell it, sell it, sell it, sell it, and they work, work, work. And I'm like, there's other ways that we can get to the goal. I think that one of the reasons why hosts do this is because they're trying to save to travel because they love it. They do love traveling, but they limit themselves in thinking that it's got to be the money that gets them the travel. And I'm saying it doesn't have to be that way. You already have something. You just need to swap it.
I love that. That is really, truly a mindset shift for, I'm sure, a lot of people, because even for us here in the States, we're trained to almost think about, all right, well, this week is vacation week, and then I'm not going to take a vacation for the rest of the summer, and I already use my vacation days. So it's almost like flipping that on its head a little bit and challenging what the notion of vacation actually means.
Totally. Exactly. Like, okay, another story. I this was this is my engagement story. I was coming to the end of summer vacation. I was in going into my third year, I think. And my husband takes me to this mountain. We climb to the top of the mountain. I'm totally clueless. I'm just my sister was getting married. My sister was getting married a couple weeks from then, so I really didn't think he was going to propose because my sis like there was just a lot going on. So I'm like, he wouldn't propose now. Like we're too distracted. So he knew that I was thinking that, and that's why he proposed. So
Oh my gosh.
he's like, I knew that if I had proposed, took you up this mountain after your sister got married, you would suspect it. So that's why he did it. So we're on this mountain. We're in Vermont. Vermont's like one of my favorite states, and I thought we were going camping. And so I was like, now we get to go camping. So I got the ring on my finger. I said, yes. I'm like crying. And I'm like, now we get to go camping. And he looked at me and smiled. I'm like, we're not going camping. He took me to this beautiful hotel looking over the mountain that was just built. And it was so lovely. And then we went down to Maine and we went camping there. But we went and we stayed in these boutique hotels. And I was in Bar Harbor.
Oh,
And
I love Bar Harbor. It's so pretty up
I
there.
know it's so great, and I was so happy. And it wasn't just because I just got engaged. Obviously, that was a huge part of it, but it was just this lightness in my heart. Like it was just this, like I could cry thinking about it because I just was so happy to go on this trip with my fiance and to see new things. This was the first time we'd been to Bar Harbor. And I was just so happy. I remember looking at down at my ring, and I remember I asked myself, what do you want to do? And the answer was, I want to stay in boutique hotels all the time. I want to travel all the time. And then my answer back to myself was, that's silly. You can't do that. That's silly.
Oh, wow.
So then I stopped. I stopped thinking about it. I went back to school for another 2 years. And then as soon as I was finished school, I came back to this idea of travel being where my heart was and what I really wanted. And so I guess that's kind of like how, really where the passion was for my Airbnb. But there's this complete lie that we're sold that it has to be work and it has to be hard and vacation is for vacation and we can't be on vacation all the time. Like we don't have to listen to that. We can totally make it work for us. Like we do all this grinding and all of this work and it's like for why? Like try to figure out another way to get it done. Try to figure out another way to accomplish your goal. If it's bringing you joy, by all means, have at her. Like, if you're keep doing like me and my business right now, like it's just starting. So obviously, it's not giving me everything I want and more. It's going to, but it brings me passion. So that's why I'm have like that's why I'm all in. That's why I'm doing it every day because I love it so much. And yeah, it's work. Like, yeah, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, hey, now what? And I go to bed at night and I'm like on my laptop till midnight, like I'm just, like I'm
I
doing
feel that exact same way. But then there's like this adrenaline rush behind it, and you like are addicted to it.
You are addicted to it because it's not work. This is the
Right.
thing. Hard work, right? Like hustle, hustle, hustle. Hard work, right? Like all of that stuff. I'm like, no, they're all lying. If you're passionate about it, I'm telling you, it's not work. I know the difference between hard work and passion because I worked very hard for a very long time and was miserable. And now I'm working in quotes and I'm not miserable. I am very happy and I'm staying up till midnight, right? So it's like completely different. It's completely different. Like I have this, I've learned so much through my suffering because I learned that in school, like, you know how you were like graded on raising your hand and participating in class and doing your homework and all these things, right? We were graded on those skills. I realized that what they were trying to do was show you how to be passionate, but not show you what to be passionate about. So I think that's where we're confused. Because we think that if we practice the behaviors of being passionate, that will be the answer. But it's not. I don't think that we need to learn how to be passionate because that's just natural. You know, you can't stop me from being on my laptop till midnight. That's just passion. That's not homework. That's just passion. Yeah. So we don't need to learn how to be passionate. We need to know what brings us passion. We need to know, that's what we've been needing to find out is just what brings you joy. I'm the oldest. My youngest sister also had this struggle of trying to sort it all out and always failing and always getting fired. And, you know, she was just never doing it right. And what she really wanted to do was walk dogs. And she was just like, I don't know how to start. I don't know what to do. No one's going to hire me. I don't have any experience. This isn't a real job. Like all of this stuff, right? And like, I just kind of said, I'm like, you know what to do to start. You know what to do. You just got to start. And, and then she was just like, you're right. And she did it. She started. And she's like the happiest person ever. She like sends me videos of the dog she's walking today. And like, she was born to do that. She was born to walk dogs, right? Like you wouldn't caught her dead at midnight.
I can relate to that, by the way. I also love walking dogs. And that's like not something they teach you in school where they pigeonhole you into certain categories of what you should be learning. I remember being in high school and being in English was the closest thing I felt like to what I wanted to do, but there, it still didn't feel exactly right. But that was all we had. And it's not like the internet was so prevalent that I could go home and just search for understanding what my true strengths were and what kind of profession I should be in. It's like you had to learn as you go. So yeah, it's kind of like you just are trained to think in this box and it's not really all-encompassing of what's possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think like if my, you know, my younger sister says if I could go back, I would say to my younger self, like, you really need to follow what your heart is saying. You really do. Like if it's because she fought against it for so long, right? It's like she always knew that this is what she was supposed to do, but she just ignored it. And so she's like, no, like you can't ignore it. if you do have that passion and you're ignoring it, like you're so lucky because you know what it is. It's just a matter of actually like, you know, getting the courage and to doing it. Like some people who are like, don't even know what it is, you know? So if you know what it is, like you're so far ahead of the game. It's crazy.
Yes. And it's like, if you keep ignoring it, like your engagement story is a great example of that, right? Because you have this gut feeling of what sounds so satisfying to you, but then you're like, society tells me that that's not actually possible. So I'm just going to ignore it. And then it kept coming back.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that's when I had a bit of like a breakdown, right? Was like at the end of the year when I was set to choose what I was supposed to do. And like everything in my body was rejecting that. And like the future looked so bleak, right? So I slowed down and I was listening to my brain for so long that I needed to start listening to my heart. Like it was kind of like a do or die situation in that point. Yeah. And like, it's so funny too. Like, I mean, this isn't that funny, but I still do. I what's it? What's the word? I started experiencing heart palpitations when I was, faced at this kind of crossroads. I think that's because my heart was actually really trying to speak.
I think everyone can relate to that at some point of trying to figure out what their true path is and trying to listen to both what people in their lives tell them, what society tells them, and then also what their gut instinct is telling them.
Yeah, like listen, like nobody knows you better than you do.
Yeah,
You
right.
know? So just like listen to yourself. Like listen, it's such a gamble not to. Like you're willing to risk yourself based on what other people say, and like it's just it if you really boil it down, it just doesn't really make any sense. And since we are all so unique, our passions are so unique too. So whatever it is that you're into is extremely valuable to the planet because no one else can offer it like you do, right?
Yeah.
So like I know we get kind of freaked out about competition, and like that's one of my fears too, although I haven't seen anything like host to host. But like I fear, I'm like, oh, it's gonna happen one day, I'm gonna find my competitor and they're gonna blow me out of the water or something. But like again, even if that happens, they're not going to offer what I offer because they're not me. So
I love that. It's so true because everyone thinks about their competitors all the time. I have that feeling for my consulting firm. Like, I think about that all the time. There's thousands of them out there, and who's to say that one of them doesn't offer something better? But then I think to myself, I'm me, and that's my power, and I know what I can bring to the table, and that's what makes all of it really fun.
Well, like imposing yourself into your business is basically like a fingerprint. Like it's so unique. Like even though, there are lots of consulting firms around the world, you have a uniqueness about your own because you are a part of it. And no one is like you. Like there will never be another one like you, and they're guaranteed there isn't another one of you right now on the planet doing what you're doing. You have something to offer. Everyone has something to offer. They have to. It's like you can't not. It's impossible for you not to have something to offer. You're unique, right?
It's
Like
kind of
what's
funny when you think about it. Like, even if you were having that conversation with your sister for dog walking, it's like, but that's her biggest passion. And her argument could easily be, you're not going to find anyone else that's more passionate about this than I am, because this is what I was meant to do. And that's really what it feels like.
Yeah, it's that's why people want you to do it. Right?
Yeah.
Like I hired somebody on our team because she had an account for finding Airbnbs. So I didn't hire a social media expert. I didn't hire someone who could like a marketing expert. I hired somebody who was very passionate about Airbnbs and in her spare time searched for them. Because I was like, I want to work with somebody who understands the language that I'm speaking. And I want to work with somebody who is going to effortlessly put passionate into this because they're not trying to sort out this language, right? Because every business has its own language. So, yeah, like I felt like, and like I said, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right call or not. But like to me, that just felt the right call because I want to work with somebody who's just as passionate about this as I am, right? We
Yeah,
can
they're
come up
thinking
with.
about it in their off time almost. Like, that's the best. That's when you know you got someone good.
Exactly. That's what she does. She thinks about it. That's her hobby. Her hobby is our, quote, work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you want, right? You want your hobby to be your, like, if your hobby makes you money, you're winning.
Yeah, totally. Completely. So,
So,
where can
yeah.
people find Host to Host online? I know you mentioned the website's hosttohost.co, and then for social, is it just Host to Host?
Host to host, but there's oh my God, I'm the worst. Underscore. So it's host underscore to, you know what I mean? There's an
Oh,
underscore between each
host
two.
underscore two underscore host.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
So
Perfect.
that's Instagram. Yeah, those are our two places that you can find. And if you are an amazing, beautiful, talented, tired host, apply and like treat yourself.
Yes.
Like what I'm saying, treat yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Like give yourself a break.
Totally.
Know? It doesn't have to be hard. I know that sounds hard to believe, but there's other ways of doing it. It doesn't have to be the way that we've been told or taught. It can be a different way. You can figure it out another way.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a any other final words to the audience?
No, I guess not. Like I don't know. Thank you so much for having me. This is like a really big deal for me because I haven't been on a podcast yet. So.
Oh my gosh, of course. I'm so honored to have you on here. This is like it's been so fun. Everyone has such different stories, so it's fun to hear different perspectives.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I love your idea. I love your concept for your podcast. I think it's so cool. I do have my own podcast. You could follow me there too. It's called Our Manifestation Journey. So yes, I'm into manifestation. I share the podcast with my sister. I actually live with my sister.
So fun.
My husband. Her husband and her two babies. So we have a very animated household. So we include kind of our stories and our journey as we reach our goals. So I don't talk about host to host, like specific, like all the nitty ditty, like all the details, but like, I kind of just say like, this is my journey in my business. Like this is where I'm kind of like moving. We kind of talk about our lives in general and the goals we have in general, and just all the synchronicities and all the magic that's around us. And yeah. So that's
that. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. I'll include all of these links in the show notes. And thank you so much, Samantha, for being a guest. This was awesome.
Thank you for having me.
That episode was like a breath of fresh air for me. Thank you so much, Samantha, for joining the Next Big Thing podcast this week. I know our listeners probably have a ton of takeaways. If you heard something that you loved, please go ahead and give us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. You guys, it helps us so much, and I would be so grateful if you could let us know what you liked or even what you didn't like. And we'll leave our email address in the show notes as well. So please feel free to reach out to us, give us feedback, and then if you could leave a rating and review, that would be amazing. Also, if you ever have any suggestions for guests, shoot us an email. We'd love to hear them. I get pitched all the time now for this podcast. Like I said, I'm really amazed at how much steam it's picked up in the short few weeks that we've been live. So thank you everyone for pitching me. But I also am so open to listeners giving us some ideas. So if you have an idea, send us a DM on Instagram at the Next Big Thing Pod, or send us an email at pod@onceandmore.co. And once again, that email address will be in the show notes. Thanks again so much for being a fan of The Next Big Thing and for listening to today's episode. I'll catch you in next week's episode.